What's going on, everyone? Taylor Kyles here for CLNS Media, coming at you with another episode of Pat's Daily, brought to you by our good friends at Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. As we lead up to the draft, you guys know, trying to keep things fresh for you, show you some things and talk about some players that we haven't really gotten a chance to highlight in this process with all the talk about quarterbacks, receivers, and offensive tackles. And today, we're diving into position groups that I really even haven't gotten a good chance to really dive into and learn about because of all those bigger positions of need. So I had to get one of my favorite guests on, basically my out-of-town co-host. I said it on Twitter, and I really mean it. He does fantastic work. Someone who's just very easy to talk to and does tremendous work to kind of help me supplement my draft knowledge. Stan Harms, film analyst for RGR Football on YouTube, NFL33.com, fantasy football content creator for Football Guys, and co-host of the Cover One Draft Podcast. Busy guy during a busy season. Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Man, if you say it all like that, it's like, how am I actually doing, right? Like, this, if you take a step back, you have to really evaluate your position because you live in the moment all the time, and I'm just trying to get to the next day and be a dad and go to t-ball practice for my daughter tonight. And so, yes, we have a lot of stuff going on. I'm doing great. We are a week out from the draft. Everything that we've done over the past 3 months is finally coming to a boiling point, and we get to see all the payoff, what the teams are going to do. So I'm in a great mood. I'm happy to be here. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm looking forward to this conversation because it's tied towards some players, like you said, that we don't always get to focus on, and that's always nice to really dive into and talk about.
Yes, sir. And I'm actually going to get a little cheat sheet for us to talk about the Patriots defense, because this is a unit that, when you just look at it on paper for this season, it looks pretty good. Like, I really do think they have the bones to be a special unit. But at the same time, if you look into the very near future, things get a little more murky. So let me put it up on the screen right now. So we're going to look, and this is my roster breakdown. I'll actually keep it a little full screen so you can see my grading scale. Blue is all pro, purple's Pro Bowl. Dark green's quality, light green is quality, starter upside, so is the younger guys in year 1 to 3, quality role player, and then backup and practice squad. So we look at the Patriots this season right here. A lot of green, a good amount of blue for, you know, a team that doesn't have a lot of blue overall, and then Jabril Peppers at purple. But then you look a little closer, and it's like, ooh, that's a lot of guys who are going to be free agents in 2025. But even with the depth, especially on the defensive line, a lot of players that, you know, eventually people are going to get extended, re-signed. These things happen, but that's still a glaring number of players who might not be on the team next season. So just looking at this, Dan, from your perspective, what is the outlook in your opinion?
So we've talked at kind of length over the past like season or two about the Patriots. And obviously this is a different situation they're in now. It's not Bill Belichick. It's a whole different atmosphere. It's going to be a different, I would imagine it's not going to be totally different defensively. Mentality probably going to be about the same and get the same kind of players, considering, you know, Mayo is now the coach and Wolf has been there for a little while now. I think that we can assume that it's going to look a lot of the same, but we're looking at the point now when it's like, oh, okay, we got to actually like get younger, right? Got to get younger. You got to get more upside players. And that's sometimes I look at the Patriots and I'm like, they just have a player for every single position in every single situation. It's nice to have players that you can just leave out there, right? That you can just say, hey, Christian Gonzalez, you never have to come off the field. Like Barmore, hey, just stay there, buddy. We don't have to rotate you in and out sometimes. Have guys in the third and fourth quarters that you don't have to consistently take out a game. So I like the depth. I like the start, the initial, like this year. Okay, we're good right now. But as you said, you always have to look forward to it. So there's some, you know, some positions, defensive line, I think cornerback, safety that we're going to be talking about today, where it's trying to find those players and trying to get some younger upside talent based players with athletic upside that can come in, do multiple things, and give you some of those answers that I think the Patriots are going to be looking for in the coming years.
Absolutely. All right. So let's dive into some of those players. Let's start off with the defensive line. You got a very robust list of guys. I'm excited to get into them. Want to start with the interior?
Sure. Like that's, I did like a 15 ish guys this year on the interior, and it's a fun group. So yes, let's go. Let's start there.
All right, so one of the guys you've got on this list, Dewayne Carter. Now, he's one of the few guys I actually am pretty familiar with, a guy I like to get in the middle rounds when I'm looking at, you know, the Patriots probably in the first three rounds going to address offense. That's why for this show, we're really going to be focusing on more of those round four, five, six, seven guys who they can get, whether you're either talking about athletic upside or just guys who might be more rotational early on in their career and then may fill in later on. So Dwayne Carter, tell us about him, interior lineman out of Duke.
You know, this is an interesting one for me because I'm feel like I'm one of the only people that's really, really high on Dwayne Carter. I understand he's 24 years old. Like I understand all of that. Like he's an older prospect playing at Duke, but like I'm seeing him on the consensus board in the fourth round and I'm just like, really? You guys, you have him in the fourth round? He's my defensive tackle too. And that makes me like a little, because I think it's a really good class. I think it's a very good class, but I think that what he projects specifically as one of those interior pass rushers with a lot of actual ability to counter, use different moves, and get early quick penetration. He's got a good first step, and he can shoot gaps, but he's also powerful enough that if he gets stuck up on or if he gets blocked, he can manage his way into a gap and stay there. He's not the best shedder in the world. That's really one of the things that he's just not great at coming off the block. And you see that a lot of times where he's like looking around and he's trying to find the ball and it's like on the opposite side, he's in the gap and he's like, I don't know what to do now. So sometimes you do see a little bit of that, but I think that's more coachable. Like learning how to disengage and find the football is something you can teach. It's obviously a lot of instinctual as well. You see guys that are really able to just get into a gap. They look one way, they look the other, and they can see the football. So I believe personally believe that's something you can coach with good defensive coaching and really something he can focus on. I don't like to say that 24 years old is old because it's not. It's 24-year-old player. But again, like I'm looking at what he's able to do. And I've got my own grades that I did on him specifically, and I love him as a pass rusher. He has like an entire tool bag of pass rush moves. This past offseason, what did we see at the defensive tackle market? Guys who can rush the pass from the interior getting paid. They got lots of money. So teams are going to be looking for that. So when I see him down in the fourth round on the consensus board, I'm like, well, if that's legitimately where he's going to go, he's going to be a priority on day three. Like last year, we saw the Eagles come up and get some of their priority players. And that's typically one of the guys I think is going to be there. And if he's not taken on day two, which again, for me, he would be, but we'll kind of see how teams feel about that. He was at the Senior Bowl as well. I thought he pretty much did exactly what you expect him to play in the gaps, create quick penetration. Sometimes he gets caught up in trying to find the football, but he is one of my favorite pass rushers at any level in this entire draft because of what he offers versatility wise with that first step get off. And then just the motor, he will continue to work and work and work until he wins that rep. So he's a very fun player and I'm excited about what he's going to do in the NFL, but for whatever reason, everyone's lower on him than me. So it always leaves me questioning myself just a little bit.
And honestly, the Patriots are a good situation for a guy like that, where you got a lot of traits, just need to get better. One, Joe Kim has done a tremendous job teaching guys different hand fighting techniques and improving them that way. Then obviously Jerry Montgomery, the defensive line coach who previously worked with Packers, very highly respected guy. All the players in Green Bay absolutely loved him. So it's going to be a good nurturing environment where you can get that technique down. You're going to be supported by a coaching staff where they're going to be able to connect with the players. That's been a huge thing for the Pats. And even though DeMarcus Covington is now the defensive coordinator, might not be able to get as much hands-on time with these guys, we do know that they might be shifting away from the style of defense Belichick played, where those interior linemen are really more run stoppers, like a Lawrence Guy type. We saw him get released, even though, you know, obviously had a ton of success in New England. Age and contract, I think, were a part of that. He got a bonus before the season started because I think they couldn't reach any kind of like long-term extension they were both happy with. But that type of true run stopper who doesn't give you much in terms of pass rush, I feel like is kind of in the periphery for New England. You see Armon Watts from Pittsburgh, where he's a solid run defender for sure, but he's not Lawrence Guy, but he gives you much more in the pass rush department. Doesn't always turn into sacks, but a lot of disruption. You can definitely see Dwayne Carter being the kind of guy in that mold. Let's move on to another guy. I've seen his name on Twitter a lot in terms of people not understanding why he's not getting talked about enough. LSU interior lineman Mason Smith. Tell me about him.
Yeah, he is. So I actually got around to the defense, LSU guys a little bit late. I was a little late to the party. I did them last week, and there's three of them. Like they have three defensive tackles that are going to get drafted. And he, in my opinion, Mason Smith has the largest upside in the draft for these LSU guys. Wingo's a bit smaller. He's got shorter arms. He's like a quick penetrating guy that we've seen go early in the past couple of years. They're trying to project those quick penetrators early. But, you know, for Smith, he's got a ton of physical tools. And he has a good array of pass rush moves. He's able to knife in, be able to use the swim move. He has a counter and a spin move counter. He can also play some 4-eye, and I think he can play from 4-eye all the way down. He's got really long arms, I think 34-plus-inch arms. He has good power in his extension. For him, it's mostly just lots of tools, and the coaching is not necessarily there. Like, the development tactics aren't all there. He's a lot of the same with trying to locate the football at times. You'll see him get into that gap and really extend, and then he's like, well, now where's the football? What am I doing here? It does feel a lot like some of these guys just don't always have the best coaching for college, and we see that almost every single year where they're just like, you're a great athlete. We're going to recruit you. You're going to go do this.
Okay, and is that something you see throughout the LSU defensive lineman? Like, is that a consistent thing, or is he more of an outlier?
No, I think that for Wingo's got more instincts, but all three of them are taught to really do the same thing. At least that's how it appears, where they just get into a gap, they extend, and then they don't necessarily shed off of the block. And it takes them a little bit more time to do so. I think Wingo is the best shedder of the three. One, he's got really small arms, right? Like, he's got to be able to do it. So he has to be more instinctual to get off that really quickly, use his athletic ability to do that. So it does feel like, when I was watching all three of them, that's really what they're instructed to do, is get in that gap, extend, and look, and they don't always shed. So they have the tools, you know, Smith and Jefferson with those really long arms and the power to play on the inside a little bit at 4-eye as well. But he can, like I said, he does locate the football a little bit, and sometimes you see him get double teams and okay, it's over. His anchor isn't as great as you'd like to be, at least you'd like it to be. So get a little more sand in the pants for him if he's going to play a little closer to three tech or inside a bit more, because these guys got displaced by double teams regularly, and it's something that you don't want to see, specifically from someone if they're going to be almost penetration based. Like, you want to be able to have a little bit more sand, like I said, sand in the pants, anchor, the footwork to be able to recover, get back in there and find the football in the run. But lots of upside there. Doesn't always split them either for a guy who's more of a penetration based player with that first step explosiveness and the length to be able to kind of knife into in and out of gaps. You don't really see him split double teams as much as you'd like to as well. So he had a really lots of good flashes, not a lot of consistency. So he is another one of these players that if you're going to have him on the inside, you will need to have a little bit of a development plan. And that's another one where we're saying, well, the Patriots would be a good spot because you have a lot of good interior players, even as pass rushers on the from the defensive end position. You could have them learn and be able to teach these guys. It's a nice little pipeline for them.
All right. So we talked about like more 3-4 defensive ends, guys, in that vein. Now let's get to a nose tackle, because Devon Godshaw, one of the best run stoppers in the NFL, but he's a guy whose contract is coming up. We don't really know what his future is going to look like. So let's get into Clemson's Tyler Davis.
Man, this is – I really liked watching his tape. And when you get these defensive tackles that are excellent run stoppers, you kind of know what they are. For me, I'm a Chiefs fan. I watch Derek Nnadi a lot, and I cover the Chiefs. So Derek Nnadi is a – I'm going to plug this gap. I'm going to do my job. You're not going to move me. But when it comes to pass rush, I'm not going to give you a whole lot. It's just not really what my job is. And that's okay. It's okay to have run-stopping defensive tackles. And as you know, the Patriots like to have pass rushers and run stoppers. They don't necessarily always have the, hey, you can do both. We can leave you out there. We're just going to rotate everybody in and out. But he's a little bit – I'm going to pull up his numbers here because for whatever reason, I don't have them right off – on my sheet, which is annoying to me. But when I was watching him, I think that he didn't do the best job at taking on some double teams for a guy who is, you know, a 6'2", 300-pound, 31-inch arm guy. I would like to see him take on double teams a tad bit better. He wasn't, like, bad at it. It was just every once in a while you see him get squared up. For 6'2", you got to be a little bit with your pad level. You have to be able to get down and get in and hunker in. And like I said, with some of these later-round guys, you're going to notice they're not perfect players, and you're going to have to teach them a thing or two. Yeah, anchor is one of those things that I think we get down the board a little bit for defensive tackles and run stoppers. You will need to teach, but he's got a lot of strength in his hands. You know, in his arm extension for a guy who's got 31 and three quarters inch arms as a nose tackle. He's got, you know, he benched nearly 30 times, which is pretty strong. I don't know if you guys know. I've tried to get to that point in my life, but it's never gotten above like 10 at 225. So yeah, it's really strong, guys. But he's got good first step. Like, he doesn't have an elite anything outside of maybe functional strength in one-on-one situations. You do see him get in there, get underneath offensive linemen, and really extend. I liked his eyes as well. He'll look around offensive linemen, look for that football. And then, you know, when it comes to actually getting guys to the ground, too often I found him falling off of tackles. As a defensive tackle, as a nose tackle, you're not always going to be at the forefront of getting those plays. Your job is to keep linebackers clean, let them clean up, and let everyone else do it. So I'm not super worried about it, but you would like it if he disengages and is able to then get guys to the ground. But he sheds very well. So he's able to really get in that gap, throw somebody off of him, and then everyone else can help. So he'll just kind of slow somebody down at worst, and then your linebackers and everyone else can kind of flow to it. So just the only thing, again, here, he's not going to give you a ton from the pass rush department. It's just, he doesn't have a lot of moves. And when he is a more of, I think, a bull rush kind of guy. And if it's not working, we're not seeing a lot of hand movement outside. It's kind of like, okay, this is over. We'll move on to the next play. But if you want a guy, again, who's going to come in and be a good run stopper early, that's really strong, that uses his length, I think, pretty well from a shorter armed guy. He's one of the good run stoppers in this defensive class, especially on day three, that's going to give you that production pretty early on.
Yeah, almost all of the Patriots' nose tackles are going to be gone, or at least that's what the contracts say next season. So if you can get a guy like that really in the late rounds, where you can just at least plug him in, get him ready technique-wise, and then he'll be ready to go once, you know, some of those guys inevitably leave, I think that'd be huge. All right, now the last interior lineman, I believe, on this list, let's go with Jaden Crumedy, who's got a very fun name. So I'm kind of rooting for him to be a Patriot potentially. But give us a profile on him.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't have – for whatever reason, it just kind of did not pull up on my list. So let me pull his name up.
You have a live show.
No, it's always fun, right? You're trying to get everything in the list pulled up, and then you have a name and – for whatever reason, it just disappears, and this is not user-friendly to navigate, so I do apologize to everybody for the and I can't find his name. Okay, there he is.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Sorry.
Oh, you're good.
All right, so this is a six-year guy, okay? Played 6 years. Yeah, 6'3", 301 pounds. He played at Mississippi State, and, I mean, that's – he's only 23 though. Like, so he's not 24 years old for some of these 50 year guys. This draft, and I think this, I don't know if this is the last one, maybe next year as well. A lot of those 50 year seniors with the COVID year, we're going to see a lot of these on day three, guys that really wanted to use as much of it as possible. And that's okay. That's okay. I'm okay with that. But you know, he's 6'3", 301 pounds at the combine. He was 301. And then his pro day, he was 304. So we do see maybe he wanted to run a little bit better, but yeah. he actually had a 4.97, so a sub 5.40. And he's a guy who's probably going to be more of an athletic upside type of guy for a defensive tackle with, you know, a 1.69 10-yard split. So a good first step, at least based off of testing. And when you have a guy who played 5 years as a starter at Mississippi State, you're learning something, right? That's nice to see. You guys that come in that have that starting experience, even in the college level at the SEC, is a good thing. He's inconsistent, right? Obviously, a guy who's probably going to be, what, sixth round, seventh round. You get a lot of these guys that move around, and when you're a fifth-year starter, you're consistently doing stuff. Like, it's a good thing to be in. He's probably going to be more of that three tech. You're going to want to use that first-step explosiveness, get downhill quickly as best you can, and then try to live in the backfield. These guys that come into the NFL lately that we're seeing, you know, the defense tackle out of Pitt last year, his name escapes me, but he played for the Bucks last year next to Vita Vea, and he was just living in the backfield.
I know you're talking about. I'll look it up. I'll buy some time.
Yeah, there we go. Because that's what the NFL's looking forward to. Like, there's everyone seems to be looking for these next Aaron Donald guy, but it's never the next Aaron Donald. It's trying to find penetration-based defensive tackles. You're trying to be able to quickly impact the quarterback.
Kalijah Kancey.
There it is. That's the guy. And he's not going to be. None of these guys are Kalijah Kancey. I think the closest maybe to him is Braden Fisk, and he's a little bit higher up the draft there. But, my boy. Yeah, we had some fun watching that guy at the combine.
He's an animal, man.
He was all over the place, and you love that kind of energy. But for a 300-pounder, when you have athletic movement and power in spurts, that's potential. And I think a guy like Wolf in New England is looking for those athletic upside guys. Yeah. And that does seem, especially on day three, when you're trying to find pass rush ability, pass rush acumen, athletic ability at the defensive tackle spot. This is a guy, Crumbie, is going to come in. You know, he's got 32 5/8-inch arms. So he's not the longest guy in the world, but he's not going to be at a disadvantage on the inside with some of the guards. Because let's be honest, everyone's like, if you got sub 33-inch arms, you're a guard. And we're not going to mess around with you at tackle. So he'll be able to hand fight well with centers and guards and give him that, I guess, growth. Again, you're looking for growth. And some of these players that the Patriots have is another good situation for him to be able to go and use that. So he's going to be more of, like I said, a rotational three tech. You're going to see him come in those probably closer to pass rush sets early on. But he looks the part, right? He's one of these big guys. And I like the athletic upside from a point of attack position. So stack, shed, get in the backfield if you're asked to do that in the run game, and then do the same thing as a pass rusher. So instinctual guy. So he's definitely more of the, like I said, the athletic upside based player for New England. Probably closer to that 6th, 7th round.
Like I said, the Patriots probably are going more in that like athletic vein. DeMarcus Covington apparently told the team, hey, we're trying to get more pass rush, get more sacks. Turnovers were part of that as well, but sounds like he fits the bill. All right, we're getting into the edge guys, and this is where I'm basically treading water. I have not done a lot of work here. A lot of these guys I'm really unfamiliar with, so you're steering the ship for me, buddy. Let's start with Jalen Harrell.
So as a Michigan fan, I've watched these guys for the last couple of years, and Harrell's not going to blow anybody away. He's another one of these athletic upside type guys. He was at the Senior Bowl. And when you go back and just watch Michigan defense, a lot of these guys are asked to do the same thing. It's be physical edge setting run defenders. And then as a pass rusher, unless you're Aiden Hutchinson and you have that great mind for pass rushing, you just kind of know what you're doing. You just kind of work class the pocket, right? Get down the middle of that tackle, figure it out, and we'll use our athletic defensive tackles to be able to make something happen. And that's kind of what it was last year. It was a lot more collapse the pocket and figure it out because they don't have a ton of pass rush acumen. It's kind of athletic upside for Harrell specifically. And every once in a while you see him flash, you'll see him bend the edge, you'll see him corner. Doesn't have a ton of bend, but he can corner. And I like that ability. Every once in a while, you see him put his foot in the ground when he's going up the arc and get back to the inside. So he does have some innate understanding of how to attack the edge and then come back and counter on the inside. Right. But for, you know, again, a guy playing at Michigan, you would expect him to kind of have that power. So he's going to come in. I think if he's going to be more of a day three guy on the edge, definitely going to be adept at setting the edge, right? Being a run defender. That's one of the things that Michigan prides themselves on. And I'm going to pull up his numbers here because, you know, I'm apparently not prepared for this show in the slightest.
You're good, buddy. You are one of the busiest men in the business right now. You are all set. And but they do have, like, Anfernee Jennings, who's kind of their go-to run stopper. But, like, you think about, once again, the depth is not very good on the team when you talk about long-term. Uche, we talk about for the pass rush. But also Matt Judon is one of their go-to guys on those early downs. So getting another guy who can set a firm edge is still very important in what they need. Like, they can't really get too picky, even if, you know, pass rush is probably where they would lean. But again, can't discount the early downs either.
Yeah, and one of the things about Harrell is that even though, like, at Michigan you ask these guys to be physical and set the edge, I mean, outside of his length with 33 1/4-inch arms, the play strength wasn't all there for him. Like, okay, he's definitely this athletic guy. That's what it is. It's very raw. It's He's 250 pounds. Like he's kind of a smaller edge player. And when you are just asked to kind of run down the middle of guys all the time, and the other guy on the opposite of him, Braden McGregor, was more of the physical guy. So I think that's a good combination too for your defensive ends. You have the big physical guy and then maybe an athletic guy on the opposite side to mirror. I'm going to press into you, or if we win quickly on the other side, we're going to go to the speed, the power guy, excuse me. So 33 1/4 inch arms and instinctually, I think that's really what you're asking for here right now. I do think that he's got the ability, obviously the frame, to get stronger, put on maybe 20, 30 pounds like that. If that's what you're going to ask him to do is be a run stopper, that's what he's going to have to do, because I think he doesn't understand how to do it. You just see on tape where he's just like, I know how to get here and I can't keep myself here. Right. I can't keep myself here. You see a lot of these athletes that just kind of figure out at the collegiate level that when they get to the NFL, it's going to be a whole different animal. So another groom on day three, he's definitely going to have to get in an NFL weight room, put on a good amount of weight. I think the base structure understanding of defending the run is there, but you, like, for example, look at Felix Anudike-Uzomah out of Kansas State last year, who the Chiefs drafted at the end of the first round. Mm-hmm. Hugely good athlete, had the requisite length, but you saw he kind of knew how to get to the edge and stop the run, but he physically couldn't do it, right? That's along the same lines as this guy, Harrell out of Michigan. So another senior was at the Senior Bowl. You saw him have a couple of good reps getting up the arc as well. So like I said, he's got that first step explosiveness to be able to rush the passer, the athletic ability to learn. I think that's the most important part here is he's coachable. And being at Michigan, I think you have to be coachable to an extent to be able to play with Jim Harbaugh and not, you know, maybe lose your mind a little bit. So he's definitely a guy who's got a lot of upside, but you don't know what you're getting all the time.
So do you think he does have that every down potential once obviously he does get an NFL weight room?
Yeah.
Kind of learns how to use that length and really get a better feel for what he's doing out there on the edge.
If it would have to be year two, year three for every down upside. But yeah, I think right now, I misspoke earlier. He's not Braden McGregor. I get the two mixed up sometimes, even though one's white, one's black. So that's just on me. Guys running through my head all the time. So he's definitely more of a third down, maybe initially, like going to be a pass rusher to start out and understands how to do it. Just can't physically do it yet at the NFL level. Michigan was a bit easier for him to be able to do that. And you're not always going against Olufoshanu every single week and being able to do that at a different level. So it's tools are there. Understanding is there. Physically is where he needs to get much better.
Well, outside linebackers coach Drew Wilkins has a pretty good track record. Worked with the Ravens and the Giants, worked some very talented players. Actually, Matt Judon, he was, I believe, the person who got into his first Pro Bowl. So pretty good situation he'd be coming into with New England. We're going to get some defensive backs. Talk about how the Patriots upgrade their secondary, which has quite a few holes. If you just look at this season, but especially looking long term. But first, quick word from our friends at Prize Picks. Be right back.
Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball and hockey entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. I personally love Prize Picks because they're super easy to use, easy to navigate, and they offer injury insurance, so your entries stay live even if one of your players gets injured. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
All right, moving into the secondary. Let's start off with some corners here. First, someone the Patriots actually had in for a 30 visit. So this one makes a lot of sense. DeCamrion Richardson out of Mississippi State. This is a guy who kind of does scream Patriots. I've seen some criticism about his athleticism, which I don't understand. Like, yes, he's got straight line speed and he's got size, but I feel like fluidity wise, I kind of talked about it earlier on the show. I think he's pretty good when he understands and has a feel for what the route's going to be. See that a lot with these press corners. When you get a hand on a guy, it's much easier to be able to run with him. Although you saw against LSU, there are some times, especially on double moves, he can get burned, but interesting prospect.
Yeah, Richardson is a guy that we were just kind of going through before the show too. He's based a lot more in cover three, cover four, cover six. He plays a lot of that at Mississippi State. Every now and then you'll see him play some man coverage and some press coverage. And it's usually for him, it's kind of press and bail, right? He's getting back out there into his cover three. But 6'2", 188 pounds, so maybe a little underweight for a guy who's 6'2". But I don't think he's a bad athlete at all. I think he's a pretty good athlete, honestly. There's a couple of plays where I was just watching him before the show, and I'm like, okay, I see the hip twitch. I see the be able to kind of get in and out of breaks, match with a bigger wide receiver at times, for sure. It's not exactly like he's going to be playing against slot guy the entire time in his career. At 6'2", he's not that kind of guy. So he's definitely a physical player. I think he can use his length well, 32-plus inch arms, if I'm not mistaken, which is nice to have for a corner. Ball production, not necessarily his key attribute.
Yeah.
When you're playing, I guess, at his size, who's really trusts his recovery speed, you're much more comfortable playing the receiver, right? Gets downfield, kind of waits for him to make his move. And that you see that a lot with corners when they come out. Either you play the ball, you play the quarterback, or you play the receiver. If you're playing the receiver, you're not going to get the ball production. You're not going to get a ton of PBUs, a ton of interceptions. But for him, I think the most important thing is that he's scheme versatile because of that size, the physicality that he shows in spurts of the man coverage he gets, and because he plays in so much different, you know, zone coverage, it gives you the opportunity to really teach him the fine-tuned parts of bump and run coverage, some press man, things like that, where he does have the ability to mirror, to stay in phase. And at the top of the routes, when he is in phase, it's hard to kind of disconnect from him. He doesn't get at just like, if he's in your hip pocket, chances are he's going to be in your hip pocket or like a step near you if that's where he's at, if when you break. So the only times I saw him where the separation was a bigger of an issue is playing that off zone. And a little smaller, shorter, quicker receiver is able to, you know, use that quickness to be able to beat him. But not the best tackler at all. He's not really I'm going to come downhill in the run game and I'm going to give it all my got. No, that's not really his game. Even though he's got longer arms, he does fall down on tackles as well. So if he gets in space, he does tend to go from either up a little too high on the shoulders to down below the hips. And you see him fall off of tackles and kind of be more of a hold guy up for someone to some help. He does, in my opinion, tack too high at times. But at the sideline, you see him a couple times put his shoulder down at the midsection and not wrap up. Like, I'm just going to hit you and I'm going to hopefully get you out of bounds. So like I said, he's a pretty good corner, I think, for his size. He's good, got good athletic ability, and obviously he ran a 4.34, you know, 40. So he's got some fat, he got some speed to be able to keep up with some of these NFL receivers. So he's definitely a day three guy that I think might end up being a little bit more of a priority, depending how day two goes. Because we know day one is going to be like a ton of offensive players, maybe a ton of wide receivers on day two. Maybe we see a run on cornerback happen at some point near the end of the first round into the day two, and that's going to push DeCamrion Richardson a little higher. But very fun player.
And I feel like his role would probably be something like J.C. Jackson when he first got to New England, where he didn't really play on early downs. He played more in sub packages, and then you'd see – or like third down specifically, and then you'd see he'd typically match up with the bigger guys, especially with Gonzalez. You can pretty much put on anybody, and he's athletic enough to be able to cover them. Yeah. Camrion can take those more bigger-bodied guys, be able to go toe-to-toe with them and have a better matchup. Next, let's go with Johnny Dixon, another man-cover guy. Obviously, Patriots love that, although he is a bit boom or bust, but also gives you some special teams value early on.
Man, Johnny Dixon is one of my favorite players, favorite corners. Yeah. And it's not even like he's I like him on day two personally. I think he can do a lot of different things, but that's because I have bias for him apparently. But he's definitely going on day two, and I think that he's much better than his Penn State counterpart, Kalen King. He comes in just under 6 foot, 5'11", 188 pounds. And he does. He plays both press man, physical guy, and he's an aggressive tackler. I love what he does. He does not care how big he is. You guys have seen Mike Sangerstall, right, out of Michigan? He plays like Mike Sangerstall. He's not that level of player, but he is experienced. He's aggressive as a tackler. He doesn't care about his size, which I love. And he is a very good blitzer. This past season, they were sending him. He was getting home. He's got very good downhill click and close ability. Like, he's got all of the ability to do that. Now, the big takeaway right now is that he was injured in the pre-draft process, so he wasn't able to do a ton of workouts. And for a guy who likes to play physically, he's not the strongest. You know, he's 5'11", 188 pounds. So you can just kind of box him out a little bit, and some bigger wide receivers got some success against him. And he has, I believe he's got the recovery speed, but at times you'll see him second-guess himself in that press recovery footwork where he thinks he's in phase and then he's not. So he has to, like, he almost trips over himself getting back behind to recover and get behind, get with guys that went behind him. But he's, again, aggressive. He's got real long speed. Like, he can stay on the outside. He can play in the inside if he needs to, having that positional versatility and ability to use your quick twitch, play as a blitzer, a very aggressive mentality. That's just the kind of player I want on my team. And it's not like 5'8", where Cam Phillips last year coming out of Houston was fantastic, doing all those things with the play, the mental ability, just didn't physically have the tools to compete. I think Johnny Dixon has those, and he's sticky. He is very sticky, and I love what he's able to do from not just a click and close ability, but pop those hips around and then fly down the field. He shows that. It's just, like I said, sometimes he will second guess himself, and you see the footwork where it does. He tends to maybe like click his heels a little bit at times, and you don't want that necessarily. It will slow you down. But all the tools, in my opinion, are there for Johnny Dixon to be a slot or an outside guy. I think he can play both in the NFL.
He's one of your favorite guys. He's clearly somebody that I need to do more research on. I'm going to pop on the tape. Go a little off script here. We got a good question in the chat. What's your opinion on Cam Hart?
Oh, man. Old man Mob. What's going on, man? Cam Hart is a day two player for me. I think he's going to be probably a top 50, 60 player on my board. And when you're 6'2", physical, fluid, speed, like, he's got all the tools that you want from a guy that I think he can play safety and corner. I think he can do both. I think personally his best maybe 3 or 4 years from now might be safety, but I'm not going to argue with putting him on the outside and just saying, hey, any of those ex receivers, I'm just going to stay with you. Like, I'm just going to do it, because he has the tools to do that. He plays physical. He's got those long arms, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, at 6'2", I would hope he's got long arms. I'm pretty sure he does too. And we saw him on the field drills. Dude can move.
Brian Hines move. And I actually walked by him. We were going to go eat, and he was like, hi. We're like, holy shit, that's Cam Hart. He's big. He's a big
dude. He's a big dude.
He's big, which is a very different thing. So, yeah, imposing guy.
He's fun.
All right. Great question, old man Mob. Appreciate you as always. All right, now let's move on to another guy. Got some inside-out versatility. Jarian Jones out of Florida State. What do we got?
Man, these Florida guys, both of them. Your guy, Renardo Green, is a stud. He's going up boards right now is what he's doing. And his counterpart's not getting the love. I don't know what it is, but they both have that dog mentality. Like, it feels like they've been doubted their entire lives, and they just are like, fine, you want to continue to doubt me? We're going to keep playing at this level. But he, for whatever reason, he's being projected more along that day three, and, you know, 5'11 and 190 pounds. We're in the same field as Johnny Dixon in terms of weight, height and weight, but a fifth year senior, again, that might be one of the reasons he's being pushed down the board a little bit. Teams definitely like the younger athletic profiles, but he does project as a player that has that athletic ability to be able to play inside, to play outside, at least, you know, from what I've seen of him. He didn't run a bad 40, you could say, you know, 4.38, pretty good. Another guy with a lot of long speed, like Richardson. Yeah, like these, I'm there's just so much speed in the NFL. You need fast corners too. I think
especially in this division.
Right? I mean, if you guys want to guard Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill a couple times a year, yeah.
Always fun. You gotta need
some speed. So yeah, he's again athletic, impressive athlete, just all over, is able to do a ton of different things for your defense. I think the much like his counterpart, he's a more physical guy, and with that outside inside experience, he's definitely going to be, I think, fourth round. That kind of versatility does, in my opinion, bump you up on day three when you have the tools to play both and the experience to do both. Mm-hmm. He trusts his eyes a little too much. Okay. Like, he thinks he's right a lot. Like, if you like pump near his direction, he's gone. I'm going for it. And you can really get that. So you see him get bite on double moves a lot. You see him bite on speed. Like, if you're a wide receiver and you want to sell that deep route, all right, I'm going to keep going, and then he's going to get cut, break off the other way. Yeah. He has the recovery athleticism, but you need to be more patient with wide receivers. And I know it's hard. Corners might have the second most difficult job in the NFL outside of quarterbacks.
Physically, it's number one. Maybe it's
yes. Yeah. Like, it's not, I can't even imagine having to process everything they have to process in 2 seconds. It's 2 seconds. You have to read, you have tells from the wide receiver. You have to not fall for the I'm selling vertical, but then I'm going inside, or I'm going outside, or I'm stopping, I'm coming back. There's so many different things that can happen. So again, athletically, if the tools are all there for him to develop, it's just more, I think, of an understanding of all the nuances that football is and seeing the game. It's not really slowed down for him in his fifth year, which is maybe another one of the reasons he's down here on day three, because the game has to slow down. And that's part of the reason we see him as more of a reactionary player. So he definitely has the upside to play. I think early on, his best position might be in a slot, because it doesn't necessarily, you're not going to always see that deep field speed, like, and then the breakdown. Like, you might be able to get him as a off coverage a little bit, use his reactionary athleticism to click and close on some of the smaller players in the NFL. Like, obviously you have big slots. I'm just saying the majority of the time we see shorter and quicker guys, I think he has the reactionary tools to be able to play in the slot early on. And I think he's a pretty good, aggressive, physical guy. Maybe not the best tackler in the world, but not going to shy away from it, at least not from what I've seen. So I again, he's definitely in that mold, the same kind of player, I think, as Renardo Green, mentality wise, and then body type of, actually, I think all three of them all have kind of close to the same body type, 6 foot, 5'11", like right in there, NFL quality cornerback play.
You already know, like you said, Renardo Green is my guy. Gary Jordan's bringing a similar mentality. He's got the versatility. I'm interested. All right, before we move off of the cornerbacks, quick question, because I feel like we can answer this real quick. Is Kool-Aid going to be available at the 34th pick? I'm going to say absolutely not. I don't think there's a shot. What do you think? I feel like that's it's wishful thinking.
I think it's wishful thinking, specifically because he ran his 40 with, you know, a broken foot and or four speed. He's also, if he's not the best man corner in the class, he's the second best man corner in the class. Mm-hmm. And he's already on pace to be ready for training camp and everything like that, according to him and his doctors. So I would say no. If he is, I'd be a little curious as to why. Mm-hmm. Like, what corners went? Did somebody – okay, here's the better thing. If somebody goes in front of him that I don't think should – that's where I'll have questions, okay? Yeah. But if we still see a lot of the same guys on day one, maybe not go, like we expect Arnold and maybe Wiggins, and then who's the other corner? Cooper DeJean, those guys, if they all go and he's sitting there and it's just offensive players, okay, I won't be too shocked. I'll tell you right now, I'd have a hard time seeing the Chiefs pass up Kool-Aid McKinstry at 32 if, like, the wide receivers and the tackles have gone and they're just like,
don't do that. You don't need it. You're fine. Jeez, that'd be so unfair. All right. Appreciate you, TJ. Thank you for the question. All right. Now let's move on to some safeties. You got a couple box guys who are probably going to make their paychecks in the NFL on special teams, but with the new kickoff rules, That cannot be understated. This is no longer, you know, that one year where special teams didn't matter. They're back to being very important. And, you know, Jabril Peppers, free agent, we don't know what's going to happen with him long term. So it's important for the Patriots to get some kind of new blood in that safety room. Let's start with, I'm so sorry, I'm going to butcher this, Keaton Oladapo?
Kaitan, I believe.
Kaitan Oladapo. All right, I was not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No, it's good. Oh, no, this was one of my favorite players coming into the Senior Bowl. Like, one of my favorite safeties. Like, he's – I love – the type of player that he is. He's big. He's like 6'2", and I think he's going to be a future and like a future tight end eraser in the NFL. I believe that's his station is going to be that big slot safety guy. Like, that would be perfect for him. Good athletic ability, good change of direction, good recovery ability. There's a play that stuck in my brain against Oregon where their tight end, and I forgot his name, I do apologize to the Oregon tight end whose name I forgot, but he beat Keaton down the field. Like, he nice little shoulder shimmy outside, released upfield. He doesn't give up on the play. He gets back and he slaps the ball out of his hand and negates a touchdown. Like, he is like, I'm not getting beat, and if I get beat, I'm gonna go make up for it. That's the kind of player that I want to have on my team personally. And when you have that aggressiveness, I think he could also probably do some spot like dime backer stuff. He's a big guy. But with that physical and athletic ability that he possesses, I think that he has a lot of different versatile tools for NFL teams, like a chess piece kind of player. But when you have the change of direction that he possesses and just the natural ability to physically take on tight ends, I think, again, like, going back to that, he's just so fun. And he's a player that you want to just say, hey, you see that big guy? Just don't let him beat you. And he just always wants to just man up tight ends and win. I just see the want to and the will, just never gives up on a play type of mentality from him. And that's something to want to be nurtured. Like I said, the man coverage against tight ends is all there. I think he's best if he's going to be playing safety. You don't want him as a deep safety, guys. That's not his game. He's not a range finder, right? We don't want those. We want too high, but again, in the box, in that strong safety type role, he can handle some too high stuff as well. They did rotate him out there at Oregon State a little bit, but I'd like to see him again against tight ends, or if he's going to be a split safety, bring him down as a robber, like a cover two robber, and just like have a corner rotate out and just have him come down. Because when you have someone like him patrolling the middle of the field, wide receivers might think twice about going in there. 6'2", nearly 220 pounds. It's a big guy. So experience as a senior, and I think, again, good change of direction skills for a guy his size that's going to be able to take away tight ends. He's just so much fun to watch. I encourage you guys, if you haven't watched him, Just go do it. He's really fun.
You heard the man. Especially in the AFC East, you cannot have enough safeties. Pretty much every team loves their heavier personnel set. So having more of those guys, especially we don't really know what the future is going to be like with Marte Mapu. Yeah. Jabril Peppers really is that guy. They like to rotate with Duggar, where he is that like big nickel slot corner. And then in their dime packages, ideally you have maybe Jabril Peppers in center field, maybe Marte Mapu down the line with Duggar kind of in that robber role. So to have that kind of man coverage or tight end eraser, so Pepper, sorry, I'm getting all the names in my head, with Duggar more being that robber type occasionally, or maybe they switch it up sometimes, that can definitely be very fun. Last guy we've got on the list, Mark Perry out of TCU, someone that Dane Brugler actually also had on his mock draft as someone who could be a target for the Patriots. Let the people know. What's his game?
Man, this was a guy who escaped my radar a little bit. I didn't know much about him. And I love the fact that he's from Rancho Cucamonga, California. That name is just so much fun to say. So if I'm going to talk about him, I'm going to say it, right? This is another bigger guy. He's 6 foot, 213 pounds, and a very good straight line downhill player. Like, I think he's got good speed, I think he's got decent range. That's not necessarily his best skill in terms of being a deep fielder safety, where he's able to change directions and cover one to the other area. That's not necessarily, in my opinion, his best skills. Comes downhill good. Excuse me, that was terrible grammar. Comes downhill well and will tackle. He's definitely a guy who will play more physically. Ran a 4.4, so he has legitimate speed, and he racked up a lot of tackles, you know, in his career. Like, he's a ton of, I think he played, if I'm not mistaken, I think he played linebacker at one point, but he's racked up 233 tackles in his career. And over 5 years, obviously he played 5 years in college football. So lots of tackles. This last year he had 58 and 3 TFLs. So he's not afraid to come down. He's kind of a TFL machine, 15 and a half over his career too for a safety. So like, damn, the guy who's going to be able to contribute is not afraid to come downhill and run support. And that's really his best function. He's going to come downhill and tackle. There's like zero ball production. Zero. He had 13 total passes defensed and 3 interceptions his entire career. And those 3 interceptions all came in one season in 2021, if I'm not mistaken.
What happened in 2021?
I don't know. That's right. He played for Colorado. He played for Colorado the first couple of years.
Okay.
And then he transferred to TCU, where most of his tackles came from, 84 in 2022 and then 58 in 2023. So definitely a guy that is going to be more physical, is going to come downhill and play in the box. I like what he's able to do from, like I said, that speed versatility standpoint. You got to find the football. As a safety, you got to be able to find the football. Like, I have to be able to put you out there, and you got to be able to make plays on the ball every now and then. And unfortunately, that's not really what you see from him. So all things aside, I do think that he's going to be able to be somebody that can learn, you know, lots of playing it. TCU and Colorado, maybe not the best defenses. I don't know if you guys have heard of Colorado's defense, because I don't think anyone's seen it in, I don't know, a decade plus. And
certainly hasn't, because he was on the field nearly like all of games. So yeah,
every time, man, he's like, I can't imagine being Sidur Sanders in that offense last year. Just every single time, I was here for like 5 minutes, guys.
The only time he gets to sit is literally when he's getting sacked. He's not getting on the bench because he's not going to be on the sideline long enough.
But that was also a lot, so he didn't get to sit down.
He's like, wait, guys, just like give me 2 seconds to rest. Let me just regroup. All right, yeah. Ready. Let's go.
Hey, ref, do you want to go like maybe throw a flag and just give me a second here? Just let me sit on the ground.
Sympathy timeout.
Oh man. But back to Perry here for a second. I do think he's a bit more of a reactionary safety too. Like his movements aren't as smooth as you'd like. I think he's a better straight line athlete than he is change of direction and trying to go make a play. So if he's forced into coming downhill, you know, maybe quickly see something that isn't there, like play action, he gets drugged in a little bit. He's got more susceptibility to be beaten over the top, but he has recovery speed to be able to negate that. It's just more of the gait, you know, your hips being able to pivot inside and then flip them back around and then transition the other way. It's not easy to do for anybody. And when you have that reactionary athleticism and kind of want to get downhill quickly, sometimes it can work against you as well. But physical guy is going to be, you know, I think he can be a blitzer. You might be able to put him in the slot every now and then and blitz him because of his speed. Wasn't used like that at TCU, to my knowledge, but that's just finding different ways to utilize players' strengths. So definitely more of a sub-package player, and you want him downhill snuffing out some screens and getting after the quarterback, I think, right now, and maybe develop a little bit later.
Again, it reminds me of Jabril Peppers. Like, dude is himself a TFL machine, and it's because he plays a lot of that slot role where they let him blitz a ton. Like him and Freddie Jennings. It's just that one play where Jennings knifes inside, and then Jabril Peppers takes the outside, and it's like, well, if the run's going this way, one of these two guys is going to blow up the play. Just depends on who it is. Learned a lot, buddy. Thank you so much for coming on. Educational, as always. Before I let you go, please let the people know where they can find you, what fantastic stuff you got coming down the pipeline that we should be looking out for.
Oh man, so much fun. I again apologize for my at sometimes sporadicness and not always being as prepared and off the cuff as it feels like.
So, it's okay.
We're all
it's
busy okay. at we this point, party. Man.
We love
it. I'm working on it. I'll be more prepared next time. But yesterday on rgrfootball.com, I had a Javon Baker breakdown. I have like 7 wide receivers for day one and day two up at rgrfootball.com, a couple of tackles as well. And I'm always doing stuff over there. I'll have day 3 guys on Wednesday, a couple breakdowns for them next Wednesday. And I just had my top five tackle list drop at nfl33.com. I'm going to work on running backs, interior defensive line before the draft. Tonight, actually, I'm recording the Cover One Draft Podcast with special guest Damian Parson. We're going to talk about some underrated players for this draft. So that'll get dropped tomorrow. Lots and lots and lots of stuff coming out before the draft. And I'll be also covering it live at rgrfootball.com. Lots of stuff. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you having me.
Appreciate you. That Jevon Baker is literally at the top of my watch later list. Like the second I actually get a moment to breathe, I'm very excited to watch. So, guys, check that out. Especially the tackles list, very relevant for Patriots fans if you want to get some more insight into some guys that could potentially be wearing the navy red and white this year. But for now, we're going to sign off, y'all. Thank you once again, Dan. Appreciate you, buddy. And appreciate you all for watching. Now, take care of yourselves.